Dear Lord, you do bring us to our knees, and we are so amazed by how much you love us every day. We're just not worthy of it. How you just pour out your love on us daily. We love you, and we praise you, and we lift up this time to you so that we can get to know you better. In your name I pray.
When your life seems like it's upside down.
Praise the Lord. I want to give a real quick, because the Lord is who he is, testimony. Just real quick. Because we're talking about praying, and we're going to be talking about praying in the Spirit. So many years ago, some of you know of a ministry called Stepping Stone Farm. It was out in Lithia, or right over here in, you know, near Brandon or wherever, right here in Florida near Lakeland. And one thing that we used to do is we would get a group of people from the Rock Community Church, and we would go over in October, and we would do a night of worship for them. And we did it maybe three or four times. And this particular night, a young lady is going to play the accordion. She's really good. And so she was going to be playing this song, Lead Me to the Cross, the one we just sang. And her part was just to kind of play that part at a certain part of the skit that we were doing. And she asked, do you mind if I play a verse? And I said, well, if you believe the Lord has put it on your heart to play a verse, then go ahead and play a verse and sing it. And so when we got there, she did. And it was not written. It wasn't what we were supposed to do. But while she was playing and singing that, you could hear this person crying. You know, crying, just couldn't stop crying. And then the next thing you know, she's in the back of the room, this young lady crying. And there's a couple of the people, the staff there, they're around her. And they're talking to her, they're trying to console her. And she just cannot stop crying. Well, fast forward some, you know, weeks later, we're back out there. Because we used to go every month. We used to go every month. My brother is calling me. And I got out there, and the girls come running up to me. You know, Coach Greg, we got to tell you this. And unfortunately, I can't remember the young lady's name. But she left the program. But she said she wanted me to know that she accepted Jesus Christ that night. In that moment, Jesus was working on her, and it came from somebody being obedient to the Holy Spirit hours earlier. The Spirit of the Lord was already working in that time. And so when we sang that song today, I thought, isn't that just like God? Here we're going to be talking about praying in the Spirit, and there's a testimony attached to that song. And watch this, Pastor Kim or whoever came up with that song, they didn't know. They had no idea. We never had this conversation. So as you listen today, as you get ready to lean in and hear what the Lord has to say, will you be reminded that the Spirit of the Lord is with you? And if you will, he will guide everything you do, your words, your actions. All you have to do is be willing to yield to him like we did that night. And here this young lady accepted Jesus Christ. And now let's fast forward almost 10 years later. I'm about to preach on the power of praying in the Spirit. And Pastor Kim decides we need to play that song. Come on now. If that don't make you shout, nothing will. Let me look at this real quick. Yeah. Hey, David, I'm turning it back on. I thought it would go off. Are we trying something new here? All right, it's good. We're trying something new, so y'all just be patient. Thank you very much. So we are in this series called Prayer. And last week, Pastor Monty, hold on a second. My wife is waving.
Your bow tie.
My bow tie messed up? Is it? Hey, y'all better listen. If you get you a good wife, you better listen to her. I'm looking right at you. Is it straight? Is that better? See? That's right. That's right. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, real quick, let's go on a side note. Men, your wives are not trying to embarrass you or hurt you or anything like that. When they're tugging, I used to be the worst at it. Sonny, I got it. And a man of God told me one night in my house, he said, when your wife is doing whatever they're doing, they just want to present you at your best. They love you, and they don't want you less than what you really are. They love you. So I don't know if anybody is engaged in this church today with a woman of God on his left. I don't know if there's anybody in the room, but I feel like the Lord is speaking in this area over here. It can be like that. So thank you, Sonny. I appreciate that. All right. So we are in a series on prayer. And last week, Pastor Monty talked about prayers of Monty, or the way that he prays, some of his favorite prayers that are in the Bible. And so he went through Ephesians chapter 1. Did I get that right? Isn't that what he? I hate to be wrong and then somebody go back and listen and it was Philippians 1 or something. So today I want us to go into the Bible and read just one scripture. And watch this. You read it 100 times and you just went right over it. Here's why. Most pastors, preachers, when they preach on what I'm going to read, they focus on put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. And when you have done everything to stand, what does it say? Stand. So we focus on that and then, you know, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, you know, the shield of faith, girded, right? And then it says, watch this, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Today, I want to focus on that part that says, pray in the Spirit. When you allow the Spirit of the Lord to pray for you, the results are beyond anything that you could see by a prayer of your own. We already had a testimony to that, just with a song, Lead Me to the Cross. Years in the making. If you will pray in the Spirit, the things that God will do, there's no way you can fathom it. It's just always working. And the reason why is because when you pray in the Spirit, there is unity in your prayer. When you pray in the Spirit, this young lady says, hey, I want to sing a verse. Is that okay? And me being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord, knowing that I don't know everything, I say, yes, that is fine. Because what she didn't know, what I didn't know, was that God was going to bring to a culmination all the work that he had been doing in that young lady's life. It wasn't because of the song. You get that? It wasn't the song. It was all the things that God had been doing. And in that moment, with that song, because of the obedience, because of the unity in prayer, God was able to move miraculously on that young lady's life, and salvation entered her heart. That's how it works. If you will, pray in the Spirit. Is that all right? Are we doing okay? All right, I'm staying with my notes now. I'm staying with my notes because y'all know I will get off my notes. So if you will turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, and we will be in chapter 9. Many of you know this chapter. It's Saul who is persecuting the church, and he goes and he gets this paperwork. That's the easiest way for me to say it for you. Paperwork so he can go and arrest and really put these Christians in their place. And he's on his way to Damascus when at verse 4, he sees this light come down and he falls. It says, and falling to the ground, verse 4, Acts 9, verse 4, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Y'all didn't get that. There's an obedience here. Rise, go in the city, and you will be told what to do. So Paul now, or Saul, also called Paul, is now got a mission from Jesus Christ. He doesn't know why, but obediently he gets up and he goes into the city where he will be told what to do. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, if we push over to verse 10, we find this man, Ananias. Ananias is minding his own business. He lives there in Damascus, and we pick up at verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now watch Ananias' pushback. Lord, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. Watch how the Lord just blows that off. The Lord heard him. Watch this. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. I heard everything you said. I got it. You're apprehensive. You're concerned. You're worried. Watch this. But God says, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Listen to me. He's being obedient. Is he nervous? Yeah. Is he afraid? Possibly. Does he think something bad's going to happen to him? Absolutely. But what does he do? He goes. Why did he go? Because God told him. Why was he obedient to God? Because he had a relationship with God. He allowed himself to be in a relationship with God. And so he knew when God speaks, I don't have to cry. I can say what I want to say, but at the end of the day, when God says go, I got to go. And so he does. He goes and he does what God has called him to do. He says, he enters the house and placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Let me read that part again. Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here. If you're Saul, what are you thinking? Come on, come on. How did he know? How did he know that? I hadn't even posted it on Twitter yet. How did he know? Because I'm blind. I can't see. I can't see the keys. Right? Did somebody post that for me? This is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord bears witness to itself. Remember that time when Nathan, was it Nathan sitting under the tree and Andrew goes and gets him, or was it Philip? Dude, read your Bible. It'll bless you. But God says, I saw you when you were under the tree. Nathaniel. Yeah, he said, I saw you when you were under the tree. How'd you see me? I hadn't put it on Twitter yet, right? But because God is omnipresent, he's everywhere at all times. He's omniscient. He's omniscient. He knows everything, right? Omnipotent. He's all powerful. Man, these are some hard words. We need to change some of these words. You can't preach like that. You're trying to give a sermon and you can't even pronounce the words, right? But because he is all those things, he can have Saul having an encounter with Christ and tell Ananias about it. And then Ananias goes to Saul and talks to him like he saw everything. And he didn't. He was just obedient. Can you see the unity in the two men? They both encountered the same Christ. They both encountered the same Holy Spirit. And therefore, in their moments, the Spirit of the Lord says to Saul about the vision that Ananias says, for he is praying. He tells Saul what Ananias is doing. And then the Spirit of the Lord tells Ananias what happens with Saul. And so Ananias shows up and says, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the unity in prayer if you will pray in the Spirit. And that means get it in your Bible every day. Not every other day, not every other week, not when it's convenient for you, every day. It means praying to God every day. Not when it's convenient, not when you think about it, oh yeah, let me go ahead and pray. No, it's praying every day. And y'all, anybody that has heard me speak, you heard me say, it's not just those drive-by prayers. It's not just those prayers where you're going somewhere. No. You stop. You get alone and you pray. I didn't tell you how long. 2 seconds, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Maybe the Lord holds you for an hour. So what? It's his time anyway. But you have to be reading your Bible every day. You have to be praying every day. And you have to be in community every day. No, I ain't going to church. I ain't going to church that often. Didn't nobody say that? Did I say go to church? What did I say? I said be in community every day. You need to be interacting with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Go into the book of Acts. The Bible says that people were added to their numbers once a week, once a month. How often were the people added to their numbers? I'm not trying to start trouble. I'm trying to be in this Bible. And I want you to be in this Bible. You got to be in your word, praying, and in community every day. The good news is community doesn't mean running all out trying to find a small group. I'm not talking about small groups, Pastor Monty. Let me preach again. I'm just talking about, so for me, you know who my community is on the daily? My wife, who at the beginning of this message said, hey, your bow tie is not straight. Community. Your community are the people that you interact with daily in Christ. You run around here mad because you can't pray in the Spirit, but you're not relating with the Lord, right? So that was a sign I ain't had as 90 minute notes. So let's push over to another chapter. We're going to push over one chapter to chapter 10. And what we're going to see in chapter 10 is another one of those moments where this person is over here praying, and this person is over here praying, and somehow, some way, the Spirit of the Lord deals with all of them, both of them, all right? So one of them is Cornelius, and I'm not going to necessarily read everything. I will read a good chunk of it, but I want to share with you what's happening. Cornelius is a good man. He is a devout man. He's not a Jew, though. He's not a Jew. He's God-fearing, but he's not a Jew. And so he's praying, and the Bible tells us that one day, let me see here, at Caesarea, I think we're in verse 10, verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Let me pause real quick, because it's important, the fact that he's praying at 3 p.m. Where are my Bible scholars at? Why is it significant that he's praying at 3 p.m?
Because that was about the time that Christ was crucified.
You're not wrong, but that isn't that. That's good, but that isn't why he was praying at 3. Come on, come on. Who else prayed at 3? Every day, who prayed at 3? I hear somebody saying it. Say it loud. Why did Daniel pray at 3? Why did he pray at 3? So, say it right here. So, the Jews prayed at 3. He's not a Jew, but he knows they pray at 3. So, what's he doing? He's being obedient. I'm not a Jew, but I know they pray at 3, so about 3 p.m, you're going to find me praying as well. That's the significance of that. He's a devout, God-fearing man. He's not a Jew, but what's he doing? He's being obedient. God says, I can use that person, because God wants your obedience. He doesn't want your sacrifices. He'll take them, but his preference is your obedience. Ain't that scriptural? I feel like that's in the Bible somewhere. Anyway, let's go back into verse 4. At verse 4, Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So I want you to notice, I told you that verse 3 points out that he was praying at 3 p.m. This offering that came up as a memorial was very much like the grain offering that the Jews would give. So you have to understand, Cornelius is not Jewish, but God is honoring him because of how he was honoring God in what he did, in his gift giving, in his praying. So you're sitting in this room and you're saying, well, I haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet, so there's no way that the Spirit can help me pray. That's not true. That isn't true, not even close. Watch this. I'm going to blow your mind. Are y'all ready for this? God can do whatever he wants to do. El Shaddai, God Almighty. There isn't anything that God cannot do if he chooses to do it. So if he wants to use you, who doesn't really know him, for his purposes, and you're willing to yield, even though you don't fully know him, he'll use you because he's God. He's allowed to. That doesn't mean he will, but he can. He's allowed to. And so he's using Cornelius. The Bible goes on to say, the next day while Peter is praying, he has an encounter with the Lord. After the Lord tells him, and here's the encounter that he has. I wanted to tell you about that. Peter goes up on his roof, and on the roof, a lot of times people would go up there because it was quiet and they could pray. And so the encounter that Peter has is he's praying and he's hungry. And so these angels, they let down this sheet. There's a sheet with animals on it. But they're animals that Peter would never eat. A Jew would never eat those. And the voice tells him to kill and eat. And Peter says, no, I will not do it. He says, kill and eat. It happens three times. And each time that he says kill and eat, the angel says, don't call anything unclean that the Lord calls clean. If the Lord gives it to you, it's clean. You don't have to worry about these rules. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to teach Peter. I'm doing a new thing. See, when we start, I'm speaking as if I'm the Spirit of the Lord. When we start bringing in these Gentiles, I'm not going to have them following those rules that I had the Jews following. Because I've given my son has already fulfilled the law. So they don't have to be circumcised. They don't have to worry about what goes into their mouth, because Jesus taught us that what we put in the mouth doesn't defile us. What defiles us? What comes out. And what comes out of our mouth? The issues of the heart. How we think, right? So Peter has this moment, and the Lord is telling him, hey, there's some people that's going to come to the door. You're going to go down with them. And so in Acts 10, 19 and 20, somebody comes up and says, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up, well, this is the Spirit, to get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. These men came from Cornelius. And they went to find Peter because the Spirit of the Lord told Cornelius to send people to go get Peter. And the Spirit of the Lord was telling Peter that these three men have come. You go with them. Unity in the Spirit. This is how this works. When you pray in the Spirit, you will have unity in the Spirit. So you're praying over here. Angel is praying, Lord, would you send me somebody? And Junior Barnes is praying over here, Lord, will you send me somebody? Next thing you know, there they are, right over there. They prayed each other to each other. Unity in prayer. I want to begin to land this plane. I hope I'm not going too long. Yeah, I'm not. I want to give a testimony. I want to talk about the Wednesday night I prayed in the Spirit and everything changed. The Wednesday night I prayed in the Spirit and everything changed happened in 1999. I was sitting at church on a Wednesday night, and the way that we did our service, we would all do praise and worship together. And then at a certain point when the pastor was going to come up and deliver a message, we had Wednesday night service, the youth would break out and go into our youth area and we would have a message. And so I showed up, I got my little message, I'm strolling into the church, got my little stuff, I'm doing praise and worship. And as I'm praying and as I'm doing praise and worship, the Lord says, get on your knees and pray. I got right on my knees. I don't play around with the Lord. I got right on my knees, and I started praying. And I'm praying. Next thing you know, he says, sit down and start writing. So I sit down, I start writing. And I'm writing out this new lesson. I'm writing out a new lesson for now. I don't work hard on that other lesson. You ain't never worked hard on something and then you get told you can't do it. Boy, that's the worst. right? I worked hard on it, but I got to be obedient. So I write it all down. I sit there. I kind of, you know, allow the Lord to do whatever he's going to do. We get up, and I go over to the youth because it's at that time. And I start teaching, and here's what I taught on. I taught on the importance of being a Christ-like example. I taught how important it is for us, and I'm talking to the teens, said it's important for us that when people see us in our schools, they need to see a Christ-like example. And whatever example you give them, if you say you're a Christian, then whatever example you give them, to them, is a Christ-like example. So if you're out there cursing out your parents or disobeying your parents or doing all those things, to them, that is Christ-like. This is what I'm teaching the kids. So the message ends, and there were two kids that had come. One of them was the sister of a girl who was always coming. So I didn't know her, but I knew her. You understand. The other girl I didn't know at all. But I was drawn to those two. Can't explain it. You're about to find out why in a second. But I was drawn to those two. So one of the guys comes up, and we're talking. I said, hey, who are the two people? Oh, that's so-and-so's sister and her friend, blah, blah, blah. I said, send them over here. Let me talk to them. So they come over to talk. And when they got to me, here, I'm calling them over to talk. You know what they said? We wanted to talk to you. I said, oh, what's up? Y'all ready for this? Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all go ahead, go to Zaxby's. Come on, let's get the praise team. But y'all not ready to hear what I'm about to tell you. You're not ready. You ready? They said, when they got to the church, the young lady who her sister comes, her mom had the two girls sitting in the car, and you know what she was talking to them about? She said, you two have got to set an example. You have to be a Christ-like example, because that's what people, when they see you, they're looking at Christ. So when you guys are out here doing all these things, you're telling people this is what Christ is. You can't be like that. You got to be a Christ example. And while she was telling those kids that, what was I doing? I was on my knees in the church praying. This happened at the same time. Because they didn't come into the church. When we walked out, they came right into where we were going. Unity of the Spirit. It works just like that. But God will do more than you could ever ask or... Come on, man. That was y'all. Y'all missed your line. Here we go. God will do more than you could ever ask or...
Imagine,
think, envision. You can't come up with the things that God can do. So watch this. Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all... Boy, y'all about to fall out your chair. This same young lady, right? We're talking about the same situation. It was either 4 in the morning the next day, which would have made it Thursday, or it was 4 in the morning the following day, which would have made it Friday. I can't remember which time I prayed, but it was 4 in the morning. The Lord woke me up and said, pray. Got out of bed. Went into I had a room, and I just prayed in that room. And so I went in that room, and I'm praying. I don't even know what I'm praying. I'm just praying, Lord, you are sovereign. Lord, you know all things, Lord. And I'm just praying, right? At 9 o'clock on Friday morning, so no matter which 4 o'clock in the morning I prayed, 9 o'clock Friday morning, phone rings. Hello? It's the guy, Chris, who... had brought the girls over. He said, I don't know if you heard, but the other night, one of the young ladies tried to commit suicide. And we have figured out, in our conversation, I figured out that when it was around midnight that she tried to do this. And it was about 4 a.m. where the doctors were able to save her life and for her to be stable. Unity in prayer. If you will allow God to use you, he'll do stuff like that. He'll do it so often, you'll almost get used to it. But I'm going to tell you, don't get used to it. You'll almost get used to it. But I'm going to encourage you, don't get used to it. You, if you were sitting in this church a few weeks ago, then unbeknownst to you, the Spirit of the Lord had a moment. So I'm sitting in the back. Y'all know where I sit. I'm sitting in the back. And Pastor Monty gives an altar call. And I'm sitting back there, and I'm looking at us as a church. And the Spirit of the Lord starts speaking to me. This ain't what you want to hear, but you need to hear it. The Spirit of the Lord starts speaking to me. They don't understand the power of prayer. Man, they don't understand the power of prayer. We need to teach on prayer. This is what I start saying. Well, we need to teach on prayer. We need to teach on prayer. You got it queued up for me? No sooner did I finish saying that than this happened.
Miraculous ways God is moving, and it's exciting. And I just pray that you kind of lean in and seek him in this time and what he's calling you to and where he's calling you to. Listen, I'm starting a new series next week on prayer. I'm going to share.
It happened in your hearing. You were here. You saw it happen. I had no idea that Pastor Monty was going to talk about prayer. I had no idea. But I'm back there praying. I'm looking at us as a congregation, and the Lord's putting on my heart, hey, we got to pray. We got to pray. We got to understand the power of prayer. So I'm going to give you a call to action. I want you to yield and pray in the Spirit. If you will yield and pray in the Spirit, God will do the work. Those times when we're up here and we say, hey, anybody need prayer? The praise team can start coming up. You guys can start coming up. And we're up here and we're saying, hey, do you need prayer? And watch this. Oh, get out my business, Greg. Hurry up and close, Greg. Watch this. This happens. It's just a matter of if you're going to admit it. The Spirit of the Lord says, go up and get prayer. And you say, no, that I don't want to embarrass myself. Oh, no, I'll pray later. Oh, no, no. God has anointed people in this church to pray for you. Where Kathy? Is Kathy Cummings here? She at home? That's a praying woman. You should be trying to get her to pray for you every chance you get. That's a praying woman. When my brother was going through some stuff, I reached out to her. She put it out for everybody, but I know that's a praying woman. Pastor Kim, that's a praying woman. You should be trying to get prayers from Pastor Kim every chance you get. That's a praying woman. We got more people in here that pray. We got our elders that pray. But here's the thing. This is what you don't want to hear, but I'm going to say it out loud. When you stay seated instead of coming to get prayer, and you rationalize not coming to get prayer because, well, I don't want the service to last too long. I just don't want to go up there. I don't want to tell anybody about this. All those. You don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. All of those are little victories for the enemy. Now, he loses in the end. We know that. But what he's trying to do is take as many souls as he can. Where's Cameron? Remember this morning when we walked in there and we was looking at that little picture? And it said, there are many. It said, in my Father's house are many rooms. And Cameron and I were talking, and I said, man, I look at that, and it makes me sad. And I asked Cameron, I said, Cameron, you know why it makes me sad? And he answered, I'm not going to put you on the spot unless you want to be put on the spot. You want to tell him what you said, or you want me to tell him? All right, I'll tell him. He said, because there's going to be a lot of extra rooms. It's going to be a lot of empty rooms. That ain't what you want to hear. But in my Father's house, there are many rooms. But it doesn't mean that everybody who has a room for them will go and take that room. Because the road is narrow. And few people find it. And the reason why they don't find it, because they don't understand the power of praying in the Spirit on every occasion. So I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you to pray in the Spirit. And if you don't know how, let me put the air quotes up, because there is no, you just trust God. You just allow God to speak to you. And when God says do something, you go do that something. That's all I'm doing. If you want to use me as an example, that's all Pastor Monty is doing. We're just doing what God's called us to do. Will you do that? So I want to pray for us. And then I'm going to invite you up for prayer. So I'll pray, they'll play, and then they'll pray. I want to encourage you to come. Is there something that's on your heart that you have wanted prayer for, but you think, oh, that's too small. Well, I'm not going to bother Pastor Monty with that. I'm not going to bother the elders with that. No. Never do that. Pastor Monty will tell you, if he was standing here right now, and he may even be listening right now, if Pastor Monty was here right now, he would tell you, there is nothing too small. Come and let us pray. And so I want to encourage you, not just this week, I want to encourage you from this day forward. If we have to stay up here for 20, 30 minutes because people want prayer, then let's stay up here 20, 30 minutes because people want prayer. We open those doors. We're not kidnapping anybody. If you feel like I'm ready to go, by all means, we love you, man. Go to the next thing that you have for today. But don't you who want prayer not come get prayer because you don't want to hold somebody else up. I'm speaking on your behalf, Pastor Monty. Don't be mad. I'm speaking on your behalf. This is a decree for the Rock Community Church. If you want prayer, come get prayed for, and we'll be here for as long as you need it. And if while we're praying, you, other folks, because everybody's not in the same place. Everybody doesn't need prayer every single second of the day. We get that. If you need to go to the next thing, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just go to the next thing. Nobody's going to look at you funny. There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make you all of a sudden less spiritual. You just get up and go to the next thing. And, oh, thank you, Jesus. If we start acting like that, the enemy's going to be upset. Because now we got people getting prayed for who need to get prayed for. People going to the next thing that need to go to the next thing. People sitting in the pews praying for these people. The enemy will be very upset. But they're going to be celebrating in heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that you would allow us to pray in the Spirit. That you would give us the words that we need to say. That you would put something on our heart, then give us the strength, courage, endurance to see it through. To go to that person and say, hey, been praying for you. To go to that person and say, hey, what a great job you're doing. Keep going. Man, you're inspiring me. Lord, we want to be a praying church because we want you to use us to do all the things that you're going to do. So hear our prayers Lord. Father, I pray right now that you have already been working on people today. As the elders come up, Lord God, to pray for those who are here, Lord God, would you inspire them to come for the little and the big. And for those people, Lord, who need to go to the next thing, would you encourage them to go to the next thing in love, knowing that they're not being judged. It's okay to go to the next thing. People have stuff they need to do. And we understand that here at the Rock Community Church. So be with us, Lord, in this time. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Take this opportunity to come up and get prayed for. And hey, real talk. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, and you have a desire for that, would you come forward? They don't have to know what you came up for. But just like that Passover night, you read about it. The Bible tells us that any house that didn't have the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost, the firstborn would die in that home. Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb. And anyone who dies without the blood of Jesus Christ over the doorpost of their heart, it will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It ain't what we want to hear, but it's the truth. Would you come forward if that's you? Let us pray for you. Let us help you, move you in that direction so that you can receive what Jesus Christ did on the cross for the forgiveness of